He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday to you. Welcome to Cleveland, Ohio. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, high above Progressive Field. And somewhere down below us in the manager's office here at Progressive Field, Paul Molitor is here as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How we doing?
We hope Paul Molitor is with us. Paul, you with us?
I can hear you. Hello.
Well, Jack, are you with us?
I'm here.
Well, we got one out of two.
I'm in the building.
We got two out of three anyway. As we look down on this this field, Jack, we enter the final game of this seven-game road trip. Twins sitting at 1-5, and it has been a perfect storm. Walked right into a buzzsaw in Toronto. The bats were quiet, and then here in Cleveland, bats have come alive, but the pitching has struggled a little bit here in Cleveland.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, there's Paul. Welcome.
Yeah, I could. I'm sorry about that. I was hearing you and I was responding, but obviously you didn't hear me. So we're back on.
All right. Did you say anything really, really important? Anything good?
Just a very nice Sunday morning greeting. That's all I got.
As we were just starting to talk about, Paul, kind of a perfect storm on this road trip. You get to Toronto and the bats are quiet and they're on fire. You get here to Cleveland and the bats pick up for you, but once you start hitting, Murphy's Law, the pitching struggles a little bit, so it seems as if the fight has been to get the pitching and the hitting all on the same page.
Well, I think that, you know, that's kind of a component that good teams look for, to have a majority of the games when that happens. Obviously, now and then, if you're good enough, you get a pitching performance and you don't score a lot of runs, but you win, and sometimes you don't pitch particularly well, but you hit maybe off the charts. There's a lot of ways to win, but obviously the more parts of your game you got going well at the same time, you're going to have a better chance. And right now, that's not really been the case for us, obviously, this trip.
Paul, you know, without dwelling on the fact that it's been a tough, tough trip for you, when you make out your lineup today and you envision the next couple of weeks, what positives do you see that you're excited about?
Well, you know, Jack, you know, you knew as well as anybody the grind of a season, how's, you know, you got to just keep finding ways to press forward. You know, first place, last place, it's a major league game. You got an opportunity. So we still have hopes that we're going to play better and win more than our fair share here. I think the positives are that just, you know, some of these guys that are gaining experience continue to find ways to get the job done. You know, we're seeing the development, you know, Rosario this year and of course, to know 120 at bats in, how he continues to improve. We got potentially some guys coming back to help us down the road. You know, Malone's coming back. Hopefully Buxton finds his way back. And we're, you know, we got big series. We're playing teams that we still have a chance to beat, and you just got to kind of look forward to the positives.
When you look at the current series, you have a chance to do something today you have not yet done since the All-Star game, and that's win a series. And that was really kind of how you built the success in the first half of the year, was not necessarily ripping off 12 straight wins, but it was winning a series and being good in these series-deciding games. So an opportunity today, even though things haven't gone great on this road trip, to come back with a prize in the overhead bin.
I like how you think that way. You know, we can't get the Toronto games back. We can't get the last homestand back. You know, Cleveland, you're hoping last night you find a way to kind of use a little bit of the momentum from your Friday night win. It didn't happen. And, you know, today we're facing a really good pitcher. People can say he's not the same guy he was last year. But you look at his strikeouts and his numbers and different things, and you know it's going to be a battle. So I'm hoping Phil can step up for us today, give us a chance, and our guys can battle Kluber today the best we can. And like you said, win a series and come home, take a day off, and get ready to play on Tuesday.
We've got our connections all figured out here in Cleveland. We're going to step aside. It is the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us, 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-9467. When we come back, we'll dive into today's matchup in particular, talking about Mr. Kluber and Mr. Hughes. It's next on your home for Twins baseball.
Baseball season is finally here, and now is the time to check out DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with injured players or poor performers. Just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can win huge cash prizes. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code MNTWINS to play for free. That's MNTWINS at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins.
Family-owned, Midwest-proud, and community-centered, the Kwik Trip story is 50 years in the making. But our story is more about your story. From the morning commute to lunch on the go, even complete dinner options, it's about you. To say thanks, stop in for a 50-cent coffee or cappuccino of any size, or a Big Buddy. Plus, check out our in-store specials. So go enjoy your story. And thanks for making Kwik Trip a part of it. Offer excludes Kruba Gold and Arctic Slush drinks.
U.S. Bank business specialists provide custom solutions for every stage of your business. We're here to help your business grow from just getting off the ground to maturity. With more than 3,000 branches, we're here to guide you every step of the way. To get started, visit your local U.S. Bank branch or usbank.com/business. Credit products are subject to normal credit approval and program guidelines. Some restrictions and fees may apply. See your banker for details. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe. And after becoming somewhat of a mentor to the younger players in the dugout, I tell them there's only one way to hit it out of the park, and that's with Sheboygan. Only Sheboygan sausage and bratwurst are handcrafted the old-fashioned way in small batches using only fresh, high-quality ingredients.
Oh, Sheboygan, I just can't get you off my mind.
My work here is done.
The way you taste is simply divine. I got Sheboygan on my mind. Sheboygan.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Progressive Field here in Cleveland, where the field's showing some signs from what was a whale of a fireworks and laser display for the last two nights here following the ball games. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, upstairs, Paul Molitor in the manager's office, and Pete from Fridley joins us on the telephone. Pete, good morning.
Morning.
Question for the skipper.
Obviously, you know, I think Chris kind of understated it. The pitching's been struggling a little bit in the last four games. We've given up 44 runs. And I see Trevor May, which I thought he was pitching pretty well, you know, but I know when you had to make that decision with Malone, when Santana came off the whatever suspended list, that somebody had to go, and he was obviously, you know, it was a tough decision. But now with the way everybody's getting Aaron Rock, is there any chance of him going back to the rotation?
I think that's a question that's on a lot of people's mind, how we're going to plan to go forward here over the next 52 games. You know, when you go through your rotation a couple of times and the runs start to mount, I think it's fair to ask those questions. The reality is it's tough to try to gauge where these guys are at and going forward. You know, Pelfrey coming off a start where he puts up eight zeros, and then he comes out and he can't protect the lead. And you know, Santana last night, you know, couldn't hit his spots and he falls behind. I don't think you can point to one guy and say, well, if we could just get Trevor May back in the rotation, everything's going to get better. I think that Terry Ryan has stated that he likes Trevor May as a starter down the road. I think right now, given the personnel and our options, considering our bullpen and our rotation combined, it's not out of the question that it could happen, but right now I don't see it happening in the short term. Tommy Malone looks like he's going to be on schedule to come back to pitch, hopefully by the end of the next homestand, and I think at least in the short term we're going to stay this way. And if we have to make a change, we will. We're not afraid to do it. But I think all the personnel involved, I think we are where we need to be.
Now, Paul, there is a start to be made before Malone can come off. One more start in there, and so that's obviously going to be a hot topic through the course of this next week, especially with Duffy going back down, with Barrios throwing well at AAA. And on that note, in terms of May not filling that spot, is the fact that he's performed so well for you and taken well to that role in the bullpen, does that make it a lot easier to leave him out there because he's become a fairly important cog in the pen?
I think that's kind of an obvious part of the equation right now, is that, you know, the part of the risk of putting him out there was he was going to do really good. And by removing him back in the rotation, all of a sudden, maybe a a hole that you have filled somewhat, you're going to create another void. So, yeah, you have to try to balance those things out. Now, as far as the start next Saturday, you know, we were hoping that we could get a string of outings from our starters, which would kind of minimize our bullpen exposure. That obviously hasn't been the case. So, you know, we'll give it a couple more days through, you know, today and maybe Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest before we decide if we're going to have to dip down and get a starter, if we can somehow shape it. It's just kind of ironic that I have probably the largest bullpen in the major leagues right now, and we're still struggling for arms a little bit. But that's just how it goes when you don't get innings from your starters.
Well, with that being said, Paul, yesterday's game, probably the most challenging of any game that you've been managing at this level anyway. And, you know, you just mentioned you have nine guys in the pen, and you had to save a few guys for today. Is Shane Robinson available today?
Well, you know, I think players always on both sides, they kind of get to the top step and a position player comes on the mound. And I'm thinking, please I don't want to have to do this. It's not good for your team. You put a player at risk, put him on the mound. And, you know, you just pray that he doesn't try to overthrow and somehow he can throw it over. You know, it wasn't a good situation. I was really at a point. There was a couple guys that I could have possibly used, but as you mentioned, today you're already going to be a little bit thinned out, so you want to at least protect a couple guys going forward. So, yeah, it's just kind of how it's worked out. These guys have been used a lot this whole week, and you got to be a little careful. Their careers are on the line as far as running them out there too much and putting them in harm's way.
Let's talk about the matchup today. Phil Hughes hopefully going to play stopper for you. Didn't have his best stuff in Toronto, but really battled, gave you every chance to win that game against a very good Toronto lineup. How is Phil Hughes today different from Phil Hughes at the start of the year? Have you seen him as he's fought through that, what he's described as kind of a lack of consistent velocity and arm strength at times? Do you see him being same pitcher, better pitcher, different pitcher?
Well, I think he, at times, as some of the arm strength has returned, we've seen a couple starts where the numbers have gone up a little bit. It's not always the case, but I think he's had to learn how to pitch a little bit differently. I think the Toronto outing was pretty exemplary of that fact. A lot more changeups and curveballs, and I think when he does that, he's not going to be quite as efficient. And you know, he's a guy who, when he was throwing last year and got in a groove, his pitch count was relatively low. He'd get deep into games, and you look up there, and he'd be at 75, 80 pitches. But the fact that he's throwing these secondary pitches a little more frequently, and they're more chase pitches that, you know, if they take them, the pitch count's going to go up. But I think he's learned, watching other guys pitch, watching how guys have been using the changeup, whether it's right on right or right on left. And I just think that he's figured out that, especially days where he doesn't have that little extra giddy-up, that he's going to have to use those pitches. And as you said in Toronto, you hold that lineup to three runs and you hope you have a chance to win. We just didn't score enough that day, but he held us in the game.
Paul, this is not specific to any one pitcher or any one position player, but you've been through this game a long, long time. You've been on world championship teams. You understand the grind of a complete season. It's not a 2 or 3 month season. It's longer than that, and conditioning can be a huge part of how the months of August and September unfold. Are you at all concerned about where some of your players are condition-wise?
Well, you wonder if those things start to catch up on you. I think that you're aware of guys that have good habits and they do the maintenance work that they need to do to try to stay strong through hopefully 6 months or even more. But guys that don't, maybe sometimes they have to pay the price when you get into the later stages. I'd only worry about pitchers. I worry about, you know, the position players that have been forced to run out there on an almost everyday basis. And you say, Jack, it's the physical conditioning, but it's also the mental conditioning. It's people that can stand strong mentally. Sometimes you're not always going to feel 100% in this game. In fact, you rarely do the longer you play it. So you have to find ways mentally to be strong as well. So I'm hoping that these guys that, you know, maybe are learning that the work they do in the off season and how they take care of themselves throughout the season, they might get by with that for a while, but it's going to come back to bite you at some point if you don't do everything that you can to give yourself a chance to be successful.
Very insightful stuff from Paul Molitor. We'll continue on this track when we return. We have to take a timeout now. If you want to join us, still time, 877-38-TWINS. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
Get that old clunker out of the garage. By donating your vehicle through the Twins Community Fund, you're actually turning your car into new equipment and playing fields for thousands of youth baseball and softball players across Twins territory. From giving inner city youth access to the game to renovating that rundown baseball field in your hometown, your gift makes a huge difference. To learn more and make a donation, visit TwinsCommunityFund.org. That's TwinsCommunityFund.org.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Make Sundays family fun days at Target Field. Kids ages 14 and under can receive not-hole tickets in select sections, courtesy of Super America, get autographs, and run the bases after the game.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Paul Mahler Show. I'm Jack Morris alongside Chris Atterbury. We're in Cleveland where Paul is down in his office here at the ballpark trying to win a series for the first time since this All-Star break. Paul, without dwelling on a tough week, and we've done that plenty, and you've been through it and we've been through it, and I don't think any of us really care to talk about it too much. Your team is in still a position at 500 that a lot of people maybe wouldn't have thought they would have been at this point in the year, and a 5-7 game winning streak, and you could be right back in this hunt. Do you foresee the possibility of having another good run like that?
Well, I tried to talk to the players last week in Toronto, addressing some of those things, Jack, and we have tried to, at the same time, encourage these guys to have a vision of where they think they can go, you know, over a course of a season, and we stress the fact that the way you do that is to go out there and be strong mentally each and every day. The hard part that you talk about mental toughness is, you know, like you said, 500 August 9th. You know, it's not a terrible position, especially with the format in today's game of two wild cards. But it's the challenge is the fact that, you know, you've gotten there by going backwards a little bit over the past 3 weeks, especially since the break. And you know, it's not like you're pushing forward and you finally got back to 500 and everyone's feeling pretty good about it. So that's where you have to differentiate with your own conscience, your own mind about where you're at and how you plan to steer this ship going forward. So I think we've stayed collectively together. I don't feel a divisiveness between pitching and hitting or defense. I think everyone's still paddling in the same direction. So that's a good thing. You just got to hope that in the short term here, you know, you can go out and try to win a series today and you get home. And I think last homestand was by far our worst homestand of the season. So we'll have a chance to come back and play some teams that we need to play well against to keep giving us hope going forward. There's a lot of teams bunched up. And, yes, our gap has gone from a couple games up to a couple games back. But, you know, this thing's pretty liquid. It can change fairly quickly if you just go out there and find a way to string a pretty good run together. I'm very optimistic that we still have that in us.
Oh, yeah, liquid. That's a neat way of putting it. We got a couple of folks lined up on the phone, Paul. We'll start with Vincent in St. Paul. Vincent, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Got a question for Jack, being a pitcher, and for anybody else that wants to answer. In spring training, if all the pitchers were really stretched out, let's say 100 pitches or something, would that help the fatigue later on in the season?
Well, I just want to remind you, Vince, this is a Paul Molitor show. And, you know, I have my opinion on that. I think every pitcher has got a range that he needs to be in shape. I think it's more about being ready for opening day than anything else. And I'm going to defer that to Paul and ask his opinion on that.
Well, I think we're always learning on how to try to better prepare our starting pitchers for seasons. I think that Neil's program that he established in the spring, for one, we had competition and we didn't know who was going to end up being in the rotation coming out of spring. And we tried to get the people that had that potential opportunity to be prepared to throw 100-plus pitches from their first start of the season. And I think we did that for the most part. Now, obviously, some guys pitch better. Their innings climb. Their pitch total climbs. You have people that have come back from injuries in Pelfrey situation where you wonder how a long season being out there almost every fifth or sixth day. There's different components that get added into that as you go through the course of a season. But I think trying to extend our starting pitching, we've tried to let guys go a little bit deeper. We've tried to give them opportunities to get out of jams late in the games, even when their pitch count's been up. I think that you have to give guys opportunities to find out. They have to take some limitations off to see what they can do. We've established kind of a criteria, at least mentally for guys, that, you know, I get to this point and I am not going to be effective anymore. I think we have to break down some of those barriers if we plan to find ways to get these guys to give us more innings and more pitches.
Well said. Also on the phone today for the Paul Molitor Show is Mark. Mark is in Little Falls. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. No question or second-guessing to Paul, just a compliment to him and how we've turned the corner in terms of the big picture the last few years, and good luck in the future, and appreciate the way the Twins play the game hard, resilient, staying in the grind. Thanks.
Well, I'll just say, we're appreciative of that. I think for the most part, you know, there's some frustration out there because we have been letting some games slip away, obviously some winnable games, whether it's games we don't hold leads or games we don't hit enough, and but we're trying to stay the course. You know, a lot of times how you finish a season is going to determine the taste that you leave in your fan base's mouths, and we're aware of that. We don't want to sit on the laurels of having four decent months. We know that we have to push forward and try to finish this thing as strongly as we can, and hopefully still give ourselves an opportunity to extend our season once we get to the end.
All right, we appreciate the calls and the input. We'll take our final timeout, come back, and finally get back to that Corey Kluber question with Paul Molitor. It's next on your home for Twins Baseball.
Take a look inside any rotary combine, and you'll find single rotor technology. Technology Case IH introduced more than 35 years ago with the Axial Flow Combine. But unless it gives you more bells and whistles with fewer belts and chains, more power using less fuel, it's not an axial flow. Because while the heart of every rotary combine beats red, only Case IH gives you the power to do more. See how at caseih.com/heartbeat.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to mneye.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do and see Minnesota Eye.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris upstairs, Paul Molitor downstairs. And Paul, today, Phil Hughes versus Corey Kluber, series on the line. Talked a little bit about Hughes earlier, but here's Kluber, reigning Cy Young winner. And the wins and losses, certainly not what you would expect. But in many of the other numbers, he looks to be pretty much the same nasty guy. What have you seen, anything different at all from last year to this year with Corey Kluber?
Well, you know, I haven't seen a lot. I mean, obviously a 6-12 record, and it's not what you would expect from a guy returning off, coming off of Cy Young. I know early in the year he pitched well, didn't get a lot of run support. He lost some low-scoring games. But his numbers are there. You know, he's been a horse. He's pitched 160 innings. He's given up less hits than innings pitched. His strikeouts are more than one per inning. There's a lot of things that jump out at you that shows that this guy is an upper-tier pitcher. So, you know, as of late, he's given up some hits, and lefties are doing significantly better than righties. But you got your hands full. You know, if he's spinning the ball, he's got one of the best breaking pitches in the game. You just got to start to recognize where he's got to start that pitch to keep it in the zone. The bad part is he throws hard enough that sometimes it's hard to take a good look at it, and you get committed, and you end up expanding and chasing the zone. So a tough guy, especially for younger players. You know, we run young guys out there every day. This has been a learning process for these guys, and you hope that you go out there and find a way to score some runs. But he's a tall order, especially on the road here in his home park. But you have to have head in the game with the plan and hopefully be able to execute it and come out on the positive end.
Paul, with the fact that you just said, you know, you have a lot of young guys and you're running them out there every day, I think it adds to a follow-up point or a question to you is that, you know, everybody's got a good guy or two in rotation. You've run through a pretty tough spell here with some great pitching this second half. And your young guys are seeing on a daily basis. You're going to see another very good pitcher today. Do you think this is something that is going to be tougher on them the first time around than the second time? Do you think it's going to be harder for them once they see a guy to adjust to that guy down the road?
Well, I think that, you know, you can always argue who gains by head-to-head confrontations. You know, even as a young player, I tried to keep good records and so I could kind of – figure out how people were trying to get me out, and then you try to make your adjustments that you need to. But I think going through this is invaluable for these guys. I think for the most part they haven't been intimidated. But sometimes they get abused somewhat just because the guy's stuff is that good, or, you know, they're certainly not seeing this caliber of pitching on a day-to-day basis down there in AAA. So it's an adjustment day in and day out. You know, the level of pitching here, we can see by the way the runs scored per games has gone down, the strikeouts have gone up, on base percentages at one of its lowest numbers since back in the early 60s, 50 plus years ago. It's a tough offensive game right now, and when you've got young guys in there, sometimes you got to pay the price a little bit while they gain that experience and hopefully try to figure it out.
Last question here for Paul Molitor as we wrap things up. Your shortstop carousel, how's that looking in the lineup today?
Well, I've got Esco in there quite a bit this week. It's just kind of worked out that way. You look for matchups for Nunez where you feel he's got a better chance. But today, obviously, with the numbers against left-hand hitters, Escobar is going to get the shot today. I was thinking about taking Dozier out, but, you know, with the day off tomorrow, he's going to be in there. I got Torrey out of the lineup today. I got Sano playing third. Trevor's going to play first, and we're going to DH Joe. So a little bit of a change, but you know, a lot of the same faces. You know, hopefully we put together a good offensive performance.
All right, good luck, Paul. This has been
Thanks, Paul
Molitor Show. For Paul and for
this
Jack, I'm Chris.
Presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.